This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. There is a new money management movement afoot, and that's private banking. Banking that is crafted to serve the needs of the very wealthy, and it's gaining traction here in Boston. Joining me to talk about this and other banking trends is Todd Wallach. Todd Wallach is a business reporter for the Boston Globe. Todd, welcome back.
Hey, great to see you again.
So when we say private banking, what are we talking about exactly?
Well, they often use the terms high net worth individuals. They typically want people with millions of dollars in assets outside of their personal home. For instance, Bank of America's U.S. Trust Division wants clients with at least $3 million in addition to the value of their home. J.P. Morgan and some others want $5 million. So they're definitely looking for very wealthy households and offering them personal service that you and I probably don't get when we go to our local bank branch.
Well, let's talk about some of the personal service that is offered to these high net worth individuals. What do they get?
Well, one of the interesting things is that instead of just going to the nearest branch and standing in line at a teller, they're usually handed the name of a personal banker to serve their needs. They get their name, they get their email address, phone number. In some cases, they'll have their cell phone number. And whenever they need to do something, whether it's make a deposit or make a loan or arrange for some other service, they'll call their personal banker and arrange an appointment. And that could be going into an office, or it could be the banker goes to your house. It could be the banker goes to your personal business or some other place that it's convenient for you. That's what the banks are emphasizing, personal convenience for these wealthy customers.
Well, I guess if I had $3 million outside of my house, I want something other than just I'm not standing in line. Don't I get something else?
Yeah. So certainly there aren't a lot of fees that you and I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. For instance, you can usually use an ATM anywhere in the world and you won't pay a fee for it. For some reason, the wealthy don't like being nickeled and dimed just like you do. But the banks are particularly sensitive to their complaints, so try to make sure that they don't bring up any objections. So they usually meet with the bankers in private meeting space. They're often separate offices. So, for instance, J.P. Morgan has an office downtown just for their personal bank that's separate from their national retail bank known as Chase that probably you'd never notice. It's right at Rose Wharf. There's no sign in front. It's on the fourth floor. If you walked by, you'd never know it was there. Some of the private banks are very private, and they tend to get customers through referrals. But the other thing that they emphasize is they like to be known as wealth managers often because they offer not just to take care of your banking, but to help manage your entire fortune. So they'll have a team of investment managers that will help manage the investments. They'll have estate planners. They'll have tax planners. So basically, they're offering financial advice to help manage people's entire fortune.
All right. So in a minute, I want to talk about what are the banks getting out of it, which seems to be a lot of money. But just to make it clear, while, you know, somebody's rolling their eyes at this conversation, there are a lot of people who have high net worth households. You just wouldn't think it coming off a recession and everybody else is struggling. But in your piece, you note that Boston area has roughly 88,000 high net worth households. That's a lot of folks not standing in line.
Right. So those are all people with $1 million in cash or investments.
Wow.
On top of their house.
And Boston ranks fifth in households with more than $5 million.
Right. I believe New York is number one, and I think they have close to 500,000 of those high net worth households. Silicon Valley has something like 170,000. So nationwide, you're talking millions of people who aren't standing in line with you and me.
All right. So let's talk about what the banks get out of it, because if they're waiving all kinds of fees and offering up personal service, you know, in special unmarked places with, as you point out in your piece, sometimes going, meeting with folks on the weekends and going, you know, to their homes and all of that, they're absorbing something, but they're also getting a lot.
Right. Well, one of the things this brings up is that banks are increasingly having trouble making money off of low and middle income customers who have maybe a couple thousand dollars parked at the bank, maybe less, and write some checks. And I think the average checking account costs banks around $400. But Interest rates are so low that when banks put that money in treasury bonds or other safe places, they're not earning a lot of interest on it. If you don't have a lot of money, you're probably not borrowing a lot of money at high interest. So they're not making as much money off the average customers. But when you're talking about a wealthier household, they're thinking, wow, those are jumbo mortgage loans. Those are they might be taking mortgages on their first, second, third, fourth home, each of which might be $1 million or more at higher interest rates than they can earn putting that money in treasuries. Those are people with large fortunes that they need invested. And typically investment managers charge an annual fee of, you know, close to 1% of the investments. Some charge fees instead for each transaction. If you're talking about extra service like legal advice and estate planning, they charge for those. So there's less cost on the basic banking account, and they'll provide extra service, but they make up for that more than that in spades by having lots of extra deposits to invest, having investments to charge to manage, by having estate planning, financial planning, all of those things that they can charge for.
I am talking with Todd Wallach, who is a business reporter for the Boston Globe, and we're talking about a new trend or an increasing trend in something called private banking, also referred to as concierge banking. Todd has a piece in the Boston Globe talking about the trend. There are 88,000 high net individuals in the Boston area who would qualify for private banking, and a lot of banks would like to have them and their resources, which must be at least $1 million in addition to whatever your home is worth in their banking circles. Now, I have heard the term private banking before. Is there something new now about this private banking in this era post-recession, or is it the same thing and we're just hearing about more of it?
Yeah, so this is not a new thing. There have been private banks around for more than a century, and often serving a lot of wealthy families, and some of them pride themselves on managing money for generation after generation. They often have expertise in managing trust funds, things I wouldn't know about personally, but I've heard about. You know, increasingly, as the big traditional banks that we know about, like Bank of America, have trouble making money on conventional retail banking, they're looking into this area and pushing into trying to make more money on wealth management. And there's some thought that there might be more wealthier households out there as the country grows and as there are more startups that have become successful, like Facebook.
The millionaire next door, we just don't know.
Facebook and Google creating more wealthy people. So they're all trying to get a piece of that action.
Well, Todd, now you've raised this point a couple times with regard to these very wealthy people who will not be paying any of the fees that you and I will pay. If the bank is putting, or the banks are putting more emphasis in trying to solicit these customers and care nothing or certainly less about the rest of us who, you know, would have a normal size banking account or maybe less normal. In fact, they're getting rid of those bank accounts and they're talking about raising fees and all of that. I mean, this is the reason to talk about this, again, for people who are rolling their eyes about, what do I care about? $5 million net worth people getting special services for their bank accounts while I am standing in line and they're charging me more fees. Well, here's how it comes home to you in that they're getting rid of the bank accounts for the rest of us so that they can cater to these folks.
Yeah, I mean, one good note is that maybe it takes a little bit of pressure off of the banks if they're making more money in general. They don't have to be quite as anxious to cut us off as quick as they are, but they're definitely under pressure from a whole bunch of reasons. One is low interest rates. Low interest rates are good for borrowers, but they're very bad if you have a lot of money. That's bad for elderly people who are trying to make money on their savings. And it's often bad for banks because they often have a lot of money that they have to keep in safe places, and they're not making much money off of that. Regulations are important to protect us, but they also add costs. That's another problem. The weak economy, just like it hurts people finding jobs, it makes it harder for banks to make money because fewer people are borrowing money. And they took a lot of losses on the mortgage loans when the housing bust happened. So for a whole bunch of reasons, banks are under pressure. And they are looking at, how do we make more money off of the average customer? And in some cases, that can be charging more fees. A lot of banks have increased the monthly fee that you have to pay for a checking account, or making or raising the requirements that are needed to avoid that monthly fee, requiring you to have more money each month in your deposits, requiring you to use a debit card more frequently, because banks do get a cut each time you use a debit card. It's an interchange fee. So they're looking at lots of different ways to try to push you to either do more business with the bank so that they can make more money that way, charge more fees so that they make more money, or discourage you. One bank account that Bank of America has launched is an e-banking account that has no monthly fee unless you ever want to use a teller. And if you ever want to use a teller, then they charge you that monthly fee. In Massachusetts, it's $12 a month. In some other states, it's $9 a month. But they're experimenting. That's one way to serve people at cheaper cost. Require them to only use ATMs and tellers unless it's absolutely necessary. For instance, if you have to get change and you can't do it at an ATM, then they'll avoid the fee.
All right. So a couple of things in there. First of all, it should be noted something I didn't know, but that banks actually did lose some money on some bad mortgage deals with high net individuals. So, you know, so often when we hear all of the bad mortgage loan stories, it's all about poor people overreaching. There were some rich people that had some money, and I guess they overreached too. So we should put that on the table as a fact as well. And the second thing is when you talk about they're trying to try these new things with, you know, can't use a teller, blah, blah, blah. They're cutting jobs. And you got a piece in today's Globe about jobs being cut from Bank of America. Now, they announced this last year, but now it's come home to roost. That's a lot of jobs in two areas in Boston where people need work.
That's absolutely right. Bank of America said that they're getting rid of around 30,000 jobs over the next few years. And in today's paper, I'm reporting that they're getting rid of nearly 200 next month at two facilities, one in Dorchester, a call center that they're shutting down, and another 100 jobs in Malden that they're eliminating in a check processing center. They're also closing branches. Every few months, I find out about another Bank of America branch being closed. And over the next few years, they plan to close 750 branches. And it's not just Bank of America. Banks across the country are looking at ways to cut costs, being leaner. That means cutting people. That means cutting branches. So you might have to drive farther or ride the bus farther for your closest branch. It might mean that you have to wait in line a little bit longer.
Now, you and I have talked about this before, and that various moves to small banks, because primarily what we're talking about when you talk about private banking, it's really the larger banks who can, you know, solicit those high net worth. I mean, I know smaller banks do too, but in terms of big numbers, it's the big banks that are usually doing that. So a lot of people had already made the move to small banks and to credit unions. Will we see more of that in 2012 as banks seem to not be so interested in the rest of us? Because for the reasons you've stated, I realize they're in business, but it comes across, if I'm a customer, as, hey, not so concerned with my needs.
Yeah, it's a good question. Then that's a feeling a lot of people have had about banks in general. No matter how many times banks say that we're all about service, we're all about caring about customers, a lot of people aren't feeling the love. So there have been a lot of people who have gone and set up accounts at local community, neighborhood banks, and credit unions. But a lot of credit unions and community banks are under pressure as well. It's harder for really small institutions to make money. So a lot of community banks have merged with bigger banks. A lot of credit unions have merged too. And a lot of people don't want to switch their money, or they like being at a bank that has ATMs everywhere or branches everywhere. And there are a handful of big banks that have that sort of ubiquitous presence. For most people, it's interesting. Most of the Bank of America customers I talked to didn't set up an account at Bank of America. They set up an account at Chaumont or Bay Bank or one of the legacy banks, and they never moved their money, even after it went through merger after merger after merger. And in general, banks find that even after they go through a big merger, more than 90% of people typically leave their money there because it's just too big of a hassle to change all their checking. Now, particularly if you've set up online banking, if you've given your account number to your gym, to your workplace for direct deposit, all the places you have to switch it. Most people have money inertia. They're not going to switch.
Well, I'm a person who's at a small community bank, and I love it. So, you know, there's nothing like coffee, cake, and coffee. On Saturday, thank you very much, Todd. That's what a small bank does for you. But the service is really important, and it's fascinating to me to watch how the shrinkage is happening, even as some of the regulations that were put in place obviously benefit the little people among us, and particularly those that came from the Elizabeth Warren bill. It's the only way I can describe it now, which really articulates how much you're paying on your credit cards, what you need to know, blah, 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 in plain English. I can see that would be costly to banks, but at the same time, boy, it's so powerful for the rest of us to have a better understanding of how these systems work. And so now to be faced with the thought that if you want to have convenience, as so many of the customers you've talked to in Bank of America, because they got ATMs or they're larger, you know, they don't want you. It's kind of tough to take, you know, don't you think?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the alternatives are.
There aren't. I mean, the good news is there's still a lot of choices for consumers. If you are willing to go through the hassle of switching your account and shopping around to see what makes the most sense. I mean, Massachusetts alone, I think there are 200 banks based here or so, and many more credit unions on top of that. So yes, you can go to the Bank of America and Sovereign and Citizens Bank that have more ATMs and more branches if that's what you want to do. Or if you prefer a local neighborhood bank, that's a great option. There are also a lot of online banks like Ally Bank is one. Capital One has an online bank. There are many other options that you have, just figuring out what makes sense. So you shouldn't feel imprisoned and like you're stuck and beholden to a bank that's not working for you.
But an interesting weird loop with that, though, is that the more people go online for all their transactions, the more then that banks feel like, well, I need to cut back on some of the in-person services that we're offering because it's costly. So you end up with a loss of jobs, as has been stated in your piece today.
No.
It's kind of a weird, you know.
That is true. And some things are temporary. Mm-hmm. I mean, the economy is gradually coming back, not as fast as some people would like, but hopefully we're not stuck in a permanent funk. Interest rates, which are near zero now, probably won't be forever that way. It's probably something that's going to gradually go up after a couple of years, and that will help banks. As more people borrow money, as the economy expands, banks will have more money and will be able to offer more service. But one thing that's probably not going away is there probably are going to be fewer branches in the future. Mm-hmm. More people are banking online. That's what people want to do. They're banking with their cell phone. In fact, more and more banks are offering apps for people's smartphones so you can take a picture of a check and automatically hit a button, and that image will be sent to the bank, and that's how your check will be deposited. So mm-hmm. you don't even have to go to an ATM to deposit a check anymore, wow. let alone wait in line. And that can be frustrating for people who don't want to use technology, who don't like ATMs, like dealing with a person. But there still are a lot of bank branches out there. In fact, in some neighborhoods, I know Beacon Hill, for instance, and Boylston and Brookline and Wellesley, people complain there are too many bank branches out there. They'd rather have stores and cafes. Uh-huh. And there are many more bank branches than there were 20, 30 years ago. So, yes, you're going to see fewer and the number dwindle, but you also have many other options to deal with. And bank branches aren't disappearing completely.
And just to put a button on the concierge services, are we going to see big fights among banks trying to get those high net worth individuals, those 88,000 that we don't know all of who they are?
It is interesting. There is definitely huge competition because there's lots of money at stake, but it's also targeting. So you're not going to see big billboards. You're not going to see television commercials. Often they don't even want us to know about it. Who don't have money. In fact, when I tried calling up a couple of the banks, like U.S. Trust and J.P. Morgan Private Bank, just to find out how much money it takes, I had a hard time getting an answer to that question. It took a week for U.S. Trust to answer an email, for instance, through their front door. Their media relations was great, but through their front door. And then all they said is, well, you know, we'll have to make up an appointment and review all your needs. J.P. Morgan, first they told me they don't have an office here in Boston, thinking retail branch that's open to anybody. And then when I talked to a banker, he said, well, you know, we don't have an exact number. We look at everybody and we turn down a lot of people. It was only when I talked to the head of the office that I got the actual number. They want people with 5 million or more, and they do a lot of screening. So their marketing is going to be targeted. They'll be sending email and letters. They'll be reaching out probably through exclusive clubs and charity events and as sponsors and places that will be below the radar screen. So they're reaching those very wealthy households while not spending a ton of money like a political campaign where they're paying money to reach everybody that they don't want.
Don't call us, we'll call you,
exactly.
I think is the thing. Thank you so much, Todd Wallach. We've been talking about private banking, a growing practice here in Boston, and I've been speaking with Todd Wallach, business reporter for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
WGBH's Adam Riley is back, fresh from the Tim Cahill trial. He'll be bringing us that story. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.